And what we're going to do today is practice the principle what Ezra has. You know, as we face 2013, there will be obstacles in church growth. There will be obstacles in family life. There will be obstacles in personal life. And notice this, after I'll talk up a little bit more, we'll talk about faith as we go on. That we need to seek a right way from God with regards to how we're going to live our lives. And for the families, you're going to have to seek a right way for our children. The verse tells us. Not only that, notice that it also covers what we have, our things, our substance. I want to highlight a few points in faith with regards to faith in the Lord. In Ezra chapter 8, verse 21, the first thing we need to realize as we come before the Lord to pray that faith in the Lord involves a willingness to deal with ourselves and our sins. The Bible says here in verse 21, "Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava." The word "afflict ourselves" literally means to depress, to abase ourselves, to chasten ourselves, to deal hardly with ourselves. And you realize that in the Old Testament, the first step of ever coming before God is what? Confession and repentance. Let's turn to a few passages. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. I'll read two verses from there. Verse 13 and 14. And realize that this is Solomon, when was given this instruction, he was not in any trouble. But God gave him already a solution to the problems he will face. Look at verse 13. "If I shut up heaven, that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I spend pestilence among my people," God is telling Solomon, look, when the time comes when the nation of Israel is experiencing havoc, experiencing trials and tribulations on the land. And then in verse 14, notice what God told Solomon that will change things. Aren't we interested in that, changing situations? You know, many times we look at life and say, I can't change this. God says that if this is the word of God, and it is, God says when there's pestilence, when there's trials in the land, in verse 14, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways." Notice there's four things here. Number one, those people who are called by the name of Christ, Christians. I mean, in the New Testament, we're Christians. We are called by God's name. We are Christian, Christ, little ones, will humble themselves. The word humble means to abase, put yourself in the ground and seek God's face and pray and turn from their wicked ways. When Ezra talked about afflicting ourselves, the idea there he was talking about is chastening ourselves. Not talking about like what the Catholics will do. They will, what you call the they whip themselves, they're crucified. That's not it. Because God is not interested in external forms of religion. God is interested in heart change. You know why we fast? The word fast has to do with emptying ourselves of food and denying ourselves what usually is pleasurable to us so that we can seek the Lord. Okay? Number one, faith in the Lord involves a willingness to deal with ourselves and our sins. Let's turn to Joel chapter 2 and verse 17. Joel chapter 2 in the Old Testament still. Joel is in the minor prophets. Joel chapter 2, verse 15 and 17. And I'm going to read this again. I want you to hear the heart of prophet Joel, or rather the heart of God, true prophet Joel. Chapter 2, verse 15 to 17. "Blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, and I will set apart a day of fasting. Call an assembly, call the people together, gather the people." Notice who came. "Gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children, those that suck the breast, let the bridegroom go forth from his chamber and the bride out of the closet." In other words, those people who are enjoying themselves, get out of whatever things that you're doing that is for pleasure. Let's gather all the people. Verse 17, "Let the priests and the ministers of the Lord weep before the porch and the altar." Where is the porch and the altar? Where is the porch and the altar? The altar is where the word of God is preached. The porch is where the congregation is. You know what Joel is saying? Come to the invitation. Come to the invitation. Weep before the porch where the congregation is and the altar. You know what? Stand in the gap. come and weep. Weep for what? And let them say, spare thy people, O Lord. Give not thy heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. You know, as I look at, you know, the first time when we had, there were many people. And thank God there are still many people that come with fasting and prayer. It's coming a time where fasting and praying has become not very popular. And sometimes we make a choice whether we want to come. You know, my heart breaks for every head of the house that's not here. I'm not saying they don't have their reasons. But you know, in the farm of fasting and praying, God is saying, gather the leaders, gather the elders, come together and weep before the porch and altar. I see this year some families are going to be broken up because the heads are not willing to weep before the altar, or at least in their own hearts. I see this year some teens are going to walk away from God because we haven't sought God. That we take the things of this world and the pleasures of this world more important than the spiritual heart that God has for our children and our church and the souls out there. God says, we must face this. Families are broken up, even in churches. Why? Why? Because we love this world. You know, when Joel and all the prophets of old, when they say repent, you know why? Because people are going into the world. People are going into the world. And there's a constant struggle, and Satan is on the rampage to destroy. Call a fast. Let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, let the church leaders weep before. Come to the invitation. You know, if we are some people believe they're so mature in the faith, they don't have to make any more decisions. I make decisions every day. You know why? If I don't change, my family won't change, the church will change, and people won't be saved. We need to have a heart and say, God, you are calling us to weep. Weep between the porch and the altar. Let them say, spare thy people. You know why spare thy people? There are some people whom we will not pray will go off into the world and be destroyed. There will be children who will be growing up, continue the same. They come to church. After church, they go up. They start playing. They have no idea of why we church for. I would like to share my heart because we need to take responsibility for the children growing up too. The teens, the youth, young adults. Then it's a time that God spare thy people. Spare thy people, because there are people fighting their own spiritual battles without anyone even knowing. And you know what? Satan just gets them. You know what Satan's strategy? Isolate and destroy. You know what that means? Isolation. In other words, Satan will corner, besiege one person, keep the person at the side, away from everyone else, and start whacking that person until he's out, one by one. I've seen that happen again and again. But God's people, we need to plead God, God, spare thy people. We need to weep between the porch and the altar. We need to be willing to say, Lord, my family. Lord, me. Lord, my priority. Oh, Lord, my children. Lord, the people under me in the church. Lord, these people are going off into the world. These people are going on. Number one, faith in the Lord involves the willingness to deal with ourselves and our sins. God says we need to weep and not give thine heritage to reproach, that a heathen should rule over them. You know what that means? Would it be possible that at the end of this year, some of the people in our church or some Christians we know will have the world rule over them? We're not playing games, guys. We're not playing games, because Satan is out on a rampage to destroy lives, and we need to plead, and that involves dealing with ourselves. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is your God? And many people are saying, you're a Christian, right? What's the point? No difference from the rest. No different from the rest. Firstly, we need to be willing to deal with ourselves. Number one. Number two, faith in the Lord reveals our dependence on the Lord's leading and guidance more than our own. Let's turn back to Ezra chapter 8. Ezra chapter 8. Ezra chapter 8. Ezra chapter 8 and verse 21. That we might afflict ourselves before our God, and notice the seeking, the seek and seek of Him a right way for us and for our little ones and for all of our substance. You notice I read earlier in Ezra 7 that actually God was having good favor on Ezra already. The king Artaxerxes have already prepared the way, wrote a letter. Everyone here have to listen to Ezra. Everyone across the river, you better listen to Ezra as well. Anything he needs, you better give to him. If you don't listen to Ezra, what happens to the guy? Exile or confiscate his goods. That was what the king said. So in other words, God has already prepared the way. Why does Ezra have to fast still? You know what? It shows his dependence on God. Say, God, even though you've opened the way, God, we still need to seek you. Just because we have a new place, we still need to seek God at every point. The renovations, the layout, that whatever that goes across, you know, men make mistakes. God doesn't. We need to seek his face. And we need to really anxiously seek his face. God, yes, we have the place. But you know what God says? So what? You still need my guidance, how to plan, how to bring the people across, how to prepare the hearts. And so you realize Ezra still kept on. He reveals his dependence on the Lord. That's point number two. And point number three, faith in the Lord requires God at every level. What does that mean? God, we need a right way for us. God, we need a right way for our children. Parents, do you know the right way for your children? We need to seek God. God, what is the right thing to do for Huichi? What's the right thing to do for Phoebe? What's the right thing to do for Joseph? Ethan, what's the right thing to do for Esther Joy? Lord, we need your grace and wisdom to know what is the right way for our teenage children and daughters. What, Lord, what do you want us to do? You know, we spend more time planning programs. God, we beg you, how do I train up my child in the way of God? That as they go into the world to live among the world's people, their hearts will still be protected and preserved. We need to seek the right way for us, our children. And guess what? Lord, how am I going to use my money, our substance? Notice in Ezra chapter 8, God, Ezra says to seek of a way for our little ones and then for all of our substance. For Ezra, it was, Lord, how am I going to protect all your silver and gold? The things that you have given to us freely to bring across. You know, it's the same situation. Lord, how we need to seek a way of God. Lord, how are we going to use the $70,000-$80,000 you have for us in the renovations? How are we going to do that? How are we going to bring that across? That God, it will be a blessing for the people over there. That God, we will not be lost to people who try to swindle us. What about our substance? You know, all of us are given things in our house. All of us are given the opportunities to use whatever God has given, our income, our house, our whatever God blesses us with. You know what? We need to ask God, how do you want us to use this? Notice Ezra says to seek a right way for us. There are many ways to do things, but Ezra is more interested, Lord, what is the right way? The way of righteousness. The way that is honoring to God. Faith in the Lord requires God at every level. We need to ask God for a good way for ourselves, our children, and for the things that God has given to us. And then faith in the Lord leads to works of faith. Notice in verse 22, 23, what did Ezra do? Ezra has already told the king, after the king wrote the letter, he said, don't worry, king, God will take care of us. The hand of our God, in verse 22, the second part, is upon all them for good that seek him. But his power and wrath is against all them that forsake him. And Ezra said in verse 22, the beginning, for I was ashamed to require of the king a band of soldiers. Because what's going to happen is, if I've told the king, God, my God will take care of me, and say, king, can you lend me some soldiers to protect us? How would that reflect on the God of Israel? So you still need me to help? Can. But in his mind, he's saying, sure, say, your king can protect you. And Ezra knew, God, I cannot dishonor your name. I cannot dishonor. You know what? If you go to a place, say, I'm a Christian, and then you do things contrary to your faith, you dishonor the Lord. And Ezra said, no, Lord, I'm not going to dishonor you. But God, I'm going to trust you, and it will lead to works of faith. And what's the work of faith? Fasting and praying, and praying, and Lord, you have to take care of us, because we do not want to dishonor you. Oh, Christian, don't dishonor the Lord. Faith in the Lord leads to works of faith, whereby if God says this, then Lord, this is what I will do for you, based on my faith in you. And faith in the Lord, next point, is fixed. What do you mean? Verse 21. Then I proclaim a fast there at the river of Ahava. The word Ahava is interesting. You know what's the meaning of Ahava? Not Ahava, the coffee place that we went to. Sounds like the coffee. Not that. There's Australian coffee called Jahava or something. It's not that. The word Ahava here means, I shall subsist. I shall subsist. The word subsist means, I am going to remain steadfast. I'm going to remain steadfast. You know, it's interesting. Names in the Hebrew culture is very important. Names in the Hebrew culture is very important. And here, River Ahava has the idea of, I will be fixed. It reflects confidence. Ezra wasn't trembling as he proclaimed a fast. He was saying, I'm proclaiming a fast to show you my dependence on God because I know he's going to do it. But God does require us to show our works of faith. I shall subsist. You know, as we pray today, we're not praying in half-heartedness. We're praying, say, God, we want you to give us a right way for ourselves, for our children, and for the things we have. And God, as we come before you, we know you can provide. We know you can sustain us. We know you can take us from 1096 to the new place. Lord, we know you can take our families from here to there. Trials may be along the way, but God, you are with us all the way. We know, I shall subsist. Faith in the Lord is fixed. And lastly, notice in verse 23, so we fasted and besought our God for this, and he was entreated of us. After the faith of Ezra was given to the Lord, God saw Ezra's faith and God honored him. Faith in the Lord will be rewarded because when God sees our dependence on him, he will not fail us. Amen? He will not fail us when he sees that, look, just as a little child and say, Papa, I cannot do. And the father or the mother comes and helps. And then you know what? The child walks away with a big smile on the face because it's been fixed. Faith in the Lord will be rewarded. Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, without faith, it is what? Impossible to please Him. God made it very clear. When you come to God and do not believe or are half-hearted, you will not. God will not hear your prayers. But you know what? If we are willing to say, Lord, I trust You. I don't know how it's going to be done, but I trust You. God says, I will reward you. Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. As we consider these things, we want to firstly, we're going to be praying, but the first part we're going to do is actually to maybe just share what we feel or what we think. What are some of the areas that we need to deal with as a church, honestly? You know, one thing is punctuality. These are small things. Not blaming anyone, all right? When I share this, I'm not blaming anyone or pointing fingers, but I think we need to adjust our lifestyle so that we will honor the Lord first. You know, preparation for our work, for the Lord. And I'm equally as guilty. We need to change that whereby we will say, Lord, we will set aside time for You. Every teacher of ambassador must spend time. Look at Ezra chapter 7, verse 12. Ezra 7, verse 10, sorry. This is the Bible teachers or the preacher's life verse, okay? Let's read together Ezra 7, verse 10. Ezra 7, verse 10. Let's read together. Ready? 1, 2, go. For Ezra has prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach in Israel statutes and judgment. Firstly, Ezra prepared his heart to seek God's law. The seeking of God's law literally means when I read God's word, I'm saying, Lord, what are You saying there? And how does it affect me? And when I've sought the law of God, then I will teach it in Israel. You know, everyone needs to do preparation, proper preparation. It is interesting. One of the things we need to honestly deal with is our preparation for the service of God. We've taken this many times. I think we're all guilty of this. We just last-minute preparation for the Lord. I think our God deserves better than that. And I think this is something that is not, please get it, I'm just laying it out so that it's not a guilt trip, but if the Holy Spirit impresses upon us, we need to change. If God has given us time, let's use it for Him. We need to be punctual. We need to prepare our hearts to serve God. What are the other areas? We need to communicate more. We need to be clearer. We need not to be easily offended. These are sins of the church that sometimes it requires a revival of hearts to say, God, my life is before You, and I don't need to be easily offended because this is my brethren. I don't know, are there any things that people may think that we need to just honestly deal with, you know? And even our children, okay, even our children, who is going to pray with them, for them, lead them? And one of the things I'm thinking, even on Friday night, I think things will change when we move to the discipleship group. But even in the next few, one of the things that, you know, we could, as men or ladies, just take the group. We take turns, not always the same person, that the children will learn to pray. Because now their prayer is less than 1 minute. Everyone just say a few, after that they start playing. So then our children won't grow to understand what prayer is. And we're praying with all our hearts, and Satan is just happily having a good time with them. So after you know what they do? Immediately after service, during invitation, they run up. Now these are little things that we need to ask God for wisdom. How are we going to, not to put down anyone, but we need to change so that the children will realize, hey, this is the Lord's place. This is the Lord's place. And we need, the children need to realize that when they come to church, I'm coming to worship God. Okay? I'm not saying they cannot be themselves. You know, sometimes they laugh, and that is fine. It's okay. Children must be children. But when it's time to hear God's word, when it's time to pray. You know, last time when I was in the church, the pastor prays for about 15 minutes. It's very standard. And when the pastor lets bow for pastoral prayer, people go to the toilet. Why? They don't want to hang around. But you know what? If that perpetuates, the next generation will not see the importance of prayer. And it's some things that I'm sure you notice as well. It's kind of, you just kind of let it go. You know, I carry in my heart for many years, Lord, how are we going to deal with this? You know, when we go to a discipleship group, when we go to a new place got a lot more rooms for the children to run to. And they probably hide in the toilet until service starts, then they come out. Hope not, okay, children? I'm not giving you any ideas. But you know, these are the little things, even as a church, we need to think. You know, we need wisdom. We need to seek a right way. Let's put it this way. I think all of us are very stretched in our work, and I understand that. And so when I share this, it's not the goal of putting a guilt trip or making people feel bad. But I believe God just wants our hearts. Because as our heart is given to the Lord, God will give us the right way. God will give us, because if our heart is right, then it's easy for God to then teach us the right way. But if our heart is not right, it's going to take time. Are there other things which people feel that we need to pray about? And maybe yes, as a church, just confess our sins to the Lord. Is there anyone that just be open about things? Just be open about things. Anyone? Just share. Maybe on this side first. Anyone would like to just share about what they feel that we need to just pray about? We're all among brethren, so whatever you said, let's just take it with a perspective of God. We need to bring it before you. Is there anyone? You know, it's usually a bit difficult, I know, but you know, as a people, let's be willing to just share what's on our hearts about certain things that we need to pray about. Okay, it's not about criticizing people, but it's like prayer time and things like that, punctuality and all that. You know. Is anyone? Once again, the goal is not to make people feel bad, all right? The goal is not that, but God will need to work in our hearts about certain things. Is there anyone? Ownership of the local church. This is our church. We're ambassadors. And so we need to have that. I'm sure many of us already have that. I think we need to pray with regards to the Lord working in all of our hearts. Is anyone else or any thoughts in their hearts that we can actually commit to the Lord, repent of it, and leave it at the cross and move forward? Is anyone else? I think one thing that's heavy on my heart is commitment. Commitment. I know in Singapore it's very, very tiring. I know. And being a Singaporean, working as well as here, I know commitment is one thing. That's why I don't push very hard when people say I can't. I'm not going to push them because I know that they have to struggle with their own things. But it comes to a stage whereby God did say that we need to commit ourselves to Him. The word commitment has to do with the surrender of ownership. The word commit means to surrender of the right to give it to someone else. And so when we talk about commitment to God, we're actually saying we are giving a right to ourselves to God. And whatever God says, we will do. Of course, we have our duties to work. We have duties to the family. But not, we have our duties to God in the church as well. And so that's where we have to learn. Lord, and commitment is not about commitment to a project. You commit to a person. You don't give your right to a project. You give your right to a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. And where He leads us, we will go. And that's something that I believe very much. We need God. You know what, even as I mentioned this, I know that cannot be forced, but God has to work in our hearts. And that's why we need to afflict ourselves, and we put our hearts before the Lord, get Him to open it, and for us to look into it, and as we pray, God will change us as we allow Him to do so. Is there any other things which... The Bible talks about afflicting ourselves. You know, as a church, we must be willing to just face up and tell God, this is what it's at. We need to pray for our children. Also, after we'll deal with that, seeking the right way, part two will be seeking the right way for ourselves, our little ones, and our substance. Okay, but is there any? How we're going to do is, I'm going to suggest we all shift either to here or to there, so that in past experience, when person pray here, the person at the end cannot hear. Person pray there, person cannot hear. Okay, so what we'll do is actually, which you prefer, here? It's not as cold here, so maybe we'll just shift all to this side. All right, so we just take a chair here, just kind of open up. And how we're going to pray is, I'm going to begin, okay? I'm going to start off. And then after that, in between, anyone would like to just pray. And the focus is asking God to change things as we repent. As we say, Lord, this is a situation with me, with us, that God, we need your help. And we are sorry for these things. We just confess as God opens our heart to them, all right? And then after that, I'll ask brother to close when they finish. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in my name, thy name, done many wonderful works? Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Verse 24 to 27, even as we have read 10 different passages, this may be the first time that we're just reading without explanation. But God's word will not return unto him void. Verse 24, the Bible says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. The rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. The rain descended, and the floods came, the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. As we finish this session of just Bible reading, and hopefully we will in our lives also remember to read God's word all the time. Brother Robert started with the word of God, Psalm chapter 1. Then after the families, Deuteronomy chapter 6, whereby we are instructed to teach our families. Okay, then after that, of course, in Psalm 78, talking about we will not hide our commandments from our children. And this is the right way for us and our children. All right, and then after that, Malachi chapter 3, talking about our services to the Lord. And one part that Malachi actually said, wherein have we been stout? Meaning that, why was there a time that we were defiant against you? And God was saying, in Malachi chapter 3, there were some people who say, what's the point of serving God? It's wasting our time. And that's where God actually had to rebuke the nation of Israel. Then in Matthew chapter 5, talking about the characteristics of a Christian, blessed are the poor in spirit, and how often we are proud, but God wants us to be meek, all right, and also letting our light so shine before men in evangelism. And finally, in Matthew, then after just now, Brother Jacob read Matthew chapter 6, talking about take no thought for the morrow. In other words, don't be worried. God will take care of us. Seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And then in Matthew chapter 7, the first part, 21, talking about salvation itself. Just because we serve doesn't mean we are saved. Just because we do things, okay, we need to have Jesus Christ in our hearts. Okay, the will of Father in heaven in verse 21 talks about the will of the Father is for everyone who has seen the Son and trust Him will have everlasting life. Okay, and finally, Jesus finishes with His Beatitudes in chapter 7, or rather the Sermon on the Mount, actually says, if you hear these sayings and do them, then your life will be stable and strong. But if you hear them and don't do them, then when the trials come, what will happen to your house? It will fall. And the Bible says at the end, and great was the fall of it. In other words, it was complete destruction. Okay. So hopefully these are, I'm sure there are many things that God has spoken to us about. So in this session, we're just looking for God's way. And maybe as the brethren have read the verses, certain things came out in your mind. And at this time, what we'll do before we pray in the second session, we would like to actually take prayer requests with regards to personal stuff and needs of the church. Needs of church will be the final session, but for us in our families, okay? I think one key one is our loved one's salvation. All right, that's a key one that we need to be praying for, our loved one's salvation.